Well, Christmas is just 3 days away. By now, everyone has probably heard enough jingle bell rock and rocking around the Christmas tree to last them another year or 10 or 50. There's all sorts of songs and movies and sentiments about Christmas that are really just about the external things connected with how we celebrate Christmas, not really about Christmas itself. And those are fine, but even leaving aside completely secular Christmas things, there are lots of Christmas songs and movies and sentiments that treat Christmas as if it's all about feelings, all about feelings of peace and joy, love for all people, feelings of togetherness with family, of generosity and community, and appreciating the innocence and joy of childhood. And these are all good things, don't get me wrong, and they do have something to do with Christmas. We can even say that they are, to greater and lesser extents, that they are effects of Christmas. But it'd be a mistake to say that those are what Christmas is about, fundamentally. If you ask someone what Christmas was about, and they said it was about peace on earth and goodwill toward men and joy and generosity, that would be missing the point to a great extent. That would be similar to if someone said that Memorial Day fundamentally was a celebration of America and our freedom. Because Memorial Day is about remembering and paying our respects to American soldiers who have died in battle. They did that, of course, for the sake of America and our freedom, so there is a connection. But saying that Memorial Day is simply about America and freedom is rather skipping the point of the holiday, which is honoring the sacrifice of the fallen. And it's similar with Christmas. If someone summarized Christmas and said that Christmas was just about peace, goodwill, joy, generosity, and all the rest, that would be missing the main point, which is, of course, celebrating the birth of Jesus, that God became man to free us from our sin. And this might be really obvious to you all, but it's worth emphasizing because in the public discourse, in the portrayals of Christmas in the media, oftentimes all you get are the references to the trees and parties and snow, the externals of the celebration, if they mention Christmas by name at all. Occasionally there'll be references to joy and peace and family, and those are treated as deeply spiritual. But if we don't have the true meaning of Christmas clear in our minds and the expectation of it in our hearts, then we can miss it, and our celebration will be all the poorer for that. Fortunately, we have our readings to help us out with that. We have our first reading with us today, the passage from the prophet Micah. It's a fantastic prophecy about the Messiah. And it's fantastic because it references two basic truths about who the Messiah will be, about who Jesus is, that he is the heir to the kingdom of David, and that he is the incarnate Son of God. First, the kingdom of David. So in the Old Testament, David was the king chosen by God. He was the one anointed by the prophet Samuel at God's direction. And God promised David something that he's never promised to another king. God promised David that his kingdom would never fail, that his descendants would sit upon the throne of David forever. That's pretty intense when you think about it. For as much as we say, God bless America, we don't think that God wrote the Constitution or promised that our government would last forever. God usually doesn't make such particular promises about civil governments. But he did to King David. By the first century, Jesus' time, the kingdom of David has seemingly been broken. No descendant of David has ruled as king in Israel for hundreds of years. The Romans have set up Herod as a vassal king, but he's not a descendant of David. He's not the rightful king. But the prophets didn't give up on the Davidic kingdom. Micah writes, "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. The prophet is speaking about Bethlehem, which is the city of David. It's where David is from. So a ruler of Israel that comes forth from the city of David, he's the subject of prophecies. This is about the Messiah, the son of David, the heir who will reclaim the throne of David and rule forever. And we see this. So when the three kings, the three wise men, the Magi, go to Jerusalem, and they ask, where's the Messiah going to be born? Where is the newborn king? It's this prophecy that informs them that it's in Bethlehem. And so off to Bethlehem they go. So that's one thing that this prophecy reminds us of that we need to remember. Jesus is the Messiah, the heir to the throne of David. We can't understand Jesus without knowing the kingdom that he inherits. We can't understand Christmas without remembering that Jesus fulfills the prophecies about the Messiah, that he fulfills all of God's promises to the people of Israel. But the prophecy of Micah also makes clear that the Messiah is not going to be only an earthly king, the way David was. For it says about this ruler, his origin is from of old, from ancient times. This refers to the fact that the Messiah will be someone who is actually eternal, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the Ancient of Days. Being eternal, being before time began, this is a divine attribute. This is an attribute of God, not of men. Thus, at least with the benefit of hindsight, we can see that this prophecy is saying that the Messiah will be divine. The coming of the Messiah is about God coming down to earth in a totally new way. This is a whole lot more than just being king of Israel. And the prophet says that also. Micah goes on, his greatness shall reach to the end of the earth. He shall be peace. He shall be peace. This is another divine attribute. No earthly ruler is said to be peace. He might bring some peace, sure, to some extent, but he would not be peace. And no earthly ruler's greatness reaches all the way to the ends of the earth. No earthly king rules the whole earth. And if he did, he certainly wouldn't do it totally peacefully. He wouldn't be peace and be the ruler of the whole world. Geopolitics just doesn't work that way in our world. So this Messiah that's prophesied is far more than simply an earthly king of Israel that will, you know, expand Israel's borders and lead it to victory and war and all of that, like a normal king. He's far more than the Jews of Jesus' time were expecting. Indeed, when the Messiah's greatness reaches to the ends of the earth, that's good news for the whole earth. That's good news for all the people, not just for the people of Israel. Because the Messiah comes to bring salvation to the whole world. Every human being has a natural desire to see God and to know God. And the Messiah comes to reveal God to man. The Messiah comes also to let all people become members of the kingdom of David. The Messiah comes to end the evil and sin which have made life on earth so miserable. So much of our suffering, some of it comes from natural evil and disease, but so much of it, and what's even worse, comes from the wickedness of our fellow human beings and from our own sin. The Messiah comes to end that. He comes ultimately to establish a kingdom of total peace and justice, the kingdom of heaven, where he shall be peace. All of this and more are all tied up and expressed in Christmas. All the prophecies of the Old Testament, the whole history of the kingdom of Israel, the whole plight of human beings everywhere, subject to sin and death and suffering, from the first man and woman up until the end of time, you know, the hopes and fears of all the years, they're all tied up with the little baby in the manger in Bethlehem, shivering in the cold. The glorious incarnation of God in the condition of such weakness and poverty. So, brothers and sisters, as we prepare ourselves to celebrate Christmas, let's lift our minds and hearts above the mere externals of Christmas, above the parties and presents and bells, and let's lift our minds even above the social effects of Jesus' coming, of goodwill and generosity and the like. Let's ask Jesus to open our minds and help us contemplate the true meaning of the coming of the Messiah, of the incarnation of God. Let's ask that every year we may come to understand these mysteries more deeply, and that every year our hearts may be filled with even greater joy.